Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A 51-yarder officially to try to win it by Butker. Placement is down. Butker's kick. Leg through. It is high enough, and it is good! Kansas City! Harrison Butker, another clutch kick against the Bengals. And the Chiefs win it at the buzzer. 26-25.
They just can't be stopped. Butker is crazy. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. 26-25, another nail-biter between these two teams, Perloff. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit from the Bengals side of things, and you think they were just, you know, you feel great about the Bengals now because felt worse after week one.
Right. I was panicking about them after week one, and I thought Joe Burrow really played well. The drops killed him. I can't understand what some of the Bengals receivers were doing. I mean, Trent Irwin is a journeyman, but the same kind of thing is happening with KC, too. You know, they look sort of awful on offense, except for Pacheco. But again, like, you have Mahomes. If you have the all-time quarterback, I think Burrow and Mahomes are that. Like, you can never count them out.
No, I get it. But it's Kansas City looks better than a lot of teams. I'll give you that. But I don't know. Because, you know, week one, Baltimore, that was a lot of self-inflicted wounds from the Baltimore Ravens. And they still came within a toenail of potentially being able to win that game on the road if they go for the two-point conversion. Isaiah Likely out of the end zone, then the two-point conversion. We talked about that for days. And now here you are with another team that I thought the Bengals, again, a lot of self-inflicted wounds here. I mean, the Cincinnati fumble that got picked up for the pick six. You know, you had some bad penalties, and I thought that Cincinnati really didn't fully take advantage. I think Kansas City was lucky to win this game. And then let's talk about the big elephant in the room here for Kansas City. I know they've got Mahomes, and I know they've got Kelce and Andy Reid. Pacheco does so much for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they don't have like another guy.
How about my guy Carson Steele? Preseason superstar.
Who fumbled, and they did go back to him in a big spot, so I guess like they have the confidence. I think people are underestimating. I just think that, you know, Pacheco, it's not just in the run game, but he's a bulldozer, and it's in the pass game, too.
Well, I mean, listen, we'll find out what happened. Pacheco, do you know something? I mean,
He left the game in a boot on crutches, and Bogus gave us the update that he was emotional in the locker room. I mean, these guys know. If he felt like he was coming back next week, I don't think he's getting emotional.
The emotional in the locker room from Bogus scared me big time. He's my fantasy running back, and my entire fantasy team got hurt. Not that it's about that. It's about much more. They also lost Hollywood Brown for the year. That was announced. So all of a sudden, that vertical passing attack, it's a lot is on your guy, Xavier Worthy. I just think that it doesn't matter. And you know why I say this. They lost Tyreek Hill, two Super Bowls. They lose Isaiah Pacheco. They're so dangerous still. It just doesn't matter. They just recreate themselves and find ways to win. And you know that, Maggie.
I know.
You of all people, a Bills fan, know that.
No, I understand it, but you know, I'm surprised when I'm watching Kansas City, these penalties that just stalled a drive with 7 minutes left to go. Like, this is usually when they're able to put it away.
And well, right. But you have to eventually, you know, they keep shuffling their offensive line. That started.
Oh, their left tackle got abused yesterday by Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
And he was on one of my top five rookies on our rookie power ranking, Kingsley Suomatiama. I think I got an extra syllable in there somewhere. But He will not be on my top five rookie power rankings when we do that tomorrow.
Right, but when you look at Kansas City, don't you think those young linemen will be better by the end of the year? And don't you think, I don't know about Pacheco, don't you think Xavier Worthy will be more adjusted to the NFL by the end of the year? Like, there are reasons to think that offense, which has been kind of clunky, talk about self-inflicted wounds. How about Patrick Mahomes throwing two interceptions? When does that happen?
He only passed for 151 yards yesterday.
And they beat the Bengals and kind of a hot Joe Burrow. So I think you could count out the Chiefs and get worried about them, but 2-0 against the Ravens and the Bengals, that's a great start.
855-212-4227. Question is, are the Chiefs looking vulnerable after these first 2 weeks? Yes, they won, no doubt, and not going for style points on this one. Yes, they did win against two what we think are going to be very good teams, the Ravens and the Bengals, who are both starting 0-2. But, you know, it just didn't look... Yesterday didn't look crisp. I think it was really just the Bengals. Like, they should be kicking themselves that they didn't win that game.
Well, I mean, yes, but it didn't look crisp. The Chiefs had more self-inflicted wounds than the Bengals, even. I mean, that first Mahomes interception, he always sees that guy. Know what strikes me as odd?
What's up?
Who is their best receiver?
Rashee Rice.
Why is he out there? And why? It doesn't look like the NFL is going to touch him.
Oh, because of reckless driving?
Yeah, reckless driving that got caught on camera for all intents and purposes, and he's a force. At the end of the game, he at 4th and 16, there was the key penalty on the Bengals rookie, cost him the game. But the fact that Rashee Rice is just dangerous down there, I feel like they have their star receiver. Like, all of a sudden, you talked about Xavier Worthy potentially filling some of the Tyreek Hill role. I think Rashee Rice is a true one. I mean, he's so talented, and nobody seems to have any problem with the car accident anymore. The broadcast was blowing him up the entire time. I feel like, if you're an AFC team, you have to be frustrated by the fact that Patrick Mahomes isn't even playing well, and they are 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I always talk about the boogeyman factor with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think you add Butker to it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we see a lot of guys hitting 50-yarders, but they were, like, cool to settle for a 50-yarder. Because when they got that big penalty, it was the 4th and 16 play, and there's a defensive pass interference of a rookie corner for Cincinnati that got to Rashee Rice and got there too early. And so they call the DPI. But then after that, it's not like they were trying to take another big chunk play. They weren't trying to score a touchdown. They were literally settling. They're trailing. And they're settling for a 51-yarder from Harrison Butker. They've got this boogeyman quality. Things just always break right for them.
Well, true. But also they have. And look, they have Chris Jones and O.J. McDuffie. I'm not O.J. Trent McDuffie. I always call him O.J. McDuffie.
Yeah.
I mean, they have that linebacking core. They have a lot of ways to beat you. I mean, we've never seen a team that was so offensive heavily to be so balanced. Again, if the Bengals can't win on a 2-INT day by Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs look somewhat unbeatable.
Chiefs 1-for-8 on third down. That's just doesn't happen. They're lucky to win this game. Yeah, EJ.
It doesn't, but if there's one thing that I think would make me pause about the Chiefs, it is that Kelce is just, he's just not been a player for them.
Yeah, but what about last year?
He drew that big penalty, though, that basically negated an interception.
Yeah, I know. And
or turnover.
He would have had the 4th and 16 completion had it not been for the hands in the face of Henderson. But still, I mean, one catch, 5 yards, not much in the first game.
He's blocking, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very valuable player, but it just feels like if the Chiefs are really going to unlock whatever they're going to be offensively, he can't be a 1-2 catch kind of guy.
Yeah, but wasn't that last season?
Well, I mean,
last year he didn't do anything until the playoffs. He barely showed up.
Yeah, but remember, he had that stretch right around maybe when Taylor showed up, where he was just killing people, and then he got hurt. And then he was kind of playing with an injury, and then he was kind of down, and then the Chiefs didn't play well. Remember, that stretch, down the stretch, they lost to the Raiders. Like, it wasn't like those were banner games for the Chiefs offense when Kelce was kind of in his little funk. Get to the playoff time, and all of a sudden he's Kelce again. This is an older player. This is not a guy in his prime. That would be the one thing that would concern me. Is this going to be who Travis Kelce is? I don't think so, but two games in a row like this, a little worrisome.
You can't be worried about any one thing with the Chiefs, because you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Like, I never thought they would win the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill, and boom, two.
They needed a defensive touchdown, though, yesterday.
Well,
which
it doesn't
fine,
matter. But it doesn't matter. They're always going to find something. They're Terminator 2. They will reform in a new way.
Keep throwing backup offensive linemen.
I'm coming away encouraged by this. The fact that Mahomes found a way to win. And we argued about this on the pre-production call. 4th and 16 against Patrick Mahomes. I don't care how he played. It's a coin flip whether you're going to be able to stop that guy. I mean, he...
I expected more from Lou Anarumo, but it's not his fault. The player just got there. Another brutal penalty. This reminds me of the AFC Championship game a couple years ago where the dude pushes Patrick Mahomes out of bounds. Basically, that won the game for the Chiefs.
Well, except that this... I think the Chiefs, I think it was Rice, probably would have caught that ball if the guy didn't hit him. It was poor coverage, and it was they only rushed three. It was a mistake. But that's the thing. The Chiefs give you such a narrow margin to beat them. I say all you want until they actually lose something. I picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I definitely want a mulligan on that. I feel good about the Bengals. I think they're going to be there. But the Chiefs should just once again find a new way to win.
855-212-4227. Are the Chiefs looking vulnerable in your eyes? Let's go to the phones. We try to get to everything, but you can call in about your own team. We're all across the country, so we're trying to cover a lot of ground on this Monday. Phil's our pal in Pennsylvania. Phil, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Perloff. I just have a quick question this morning. Perloff, with A.J. Brown being out for tonight's game, do you think Jahan Dotson's going to, you know, buckle under the pressure playing his first Monday night in Philly? Or do you think that the Falcons, you know, selling out to slow down Saquon Barkley will open up Dotson to have a huge game?
Phil, I have to ask you a question. Jahan Dotson, if the Washington Commanders give up on a wide receiver, why are we giving, like, a decent draft pick for this dude? And then he didn't show up at all last week. I have no faith in this guy whatsoever. I did not quite get that trade.
I thought that Dotson was actually on his way to having a really nice career. I was like, oh man, when you get this dude with a good quarterback, maybe it'd be different. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, we're getting rid of him. It's like, all right.
But a third round pick?
Yeah.
He's
not a bad receiver, but he did not. He was nowhere in that first game. But it was Brazil, so maybe it's weird.
But he was reportedly not good in Commander's camp.
Right, I guess.
I couldn't believe they had to give up a third rounder for him. I think they were so excited about having Saquon from Penn State. They're like, let's get more Penn State guys.
Well,
in there.
You were told us Penn State is Philadelphia's college.
It is.
It's a college town.
So Penn State, how about Lehigh Valley? Like, these guys are from the same town, basically. Whitehall and Nazareth, which is where I lived for a little while. Like, literally the same town.
Pennsylvania State University is the state college for Philadelphia. So if you're in Philadelphia, there's a great chance you went to Penn State. It is a local school. I'm not saying it's 3 hours away, but there are millions of Nittany Lions fans in Philadelphia. You're laughing at me. I'm telling you.
No, it's just totally this was debunked by our former boss who was literally hosting an afternoon show in Philadelphia.
When I was a kid,
today.
Sunday morning, they would show the Penn State game replay, and Joe Paterno's brother would announce it. That was the thing.
I'm not arguing with you. Team. I'm just saying you've been debunked by someone else.
I will support Perloff. Only in that, like, where these guys are from, it is Eagles and it is Penn State country. It's like, it's a little, maybe hour 20 minutes from Philadelphia, so it's a little bit of a kind of a weird area. You're right across the river, basically, from New Jersey. This is Penn State Eagles country. So, like, getting these two guys in makes sense. One guy, Saquon, thumbs up so far. Dotson, big question mark.
We'll see Monday Night Football tonight. John is in Boise, is a big Packer fan, but John, you're not reveling in your big Malik Willis win. You're calling about something else.
I am. I watched that Bears-Texans game last night, and it was so nice to see the Bears are still the Bears, and Caleb Williams throwing those interceptions, and it's just a nice feeling to know that Bears fans are, you know, kind of sitting back wondering what's going on.
Wow, John. I mean, no pun intended, but talk about poking the bear. I mean, don't you think that Caleb Williams is going to be good eventually? You might regret this phone call, and we're going to save it for him.
No, I'm not going to regret this phone call. He won't be their 4,000-yard passer. It's going to be, you know, go Pack, go, and the Bears are still the Bears.
Wow, John. Way to bring the confidence on this Monday morning. Appreciate you big time.
I forgot, by the way, about coming in season, how all the passing records for the Bears lifetime are terrible, and we all thought Caleb was going to break all those. He ain't breaking any passing records.
No, he...
You got to actually throw the football to break a passing record. You actually have to line up your team to hike a football just once. Just once would the Bears go up to the line and either not be illegally lined up or let the clock expire. It was unbelievable how janky they were trying to get the ball in play.
Okay, well, I mean, someone tell the officials not there to see them last night.
Well, yeah, but you could see the Bears were moving all over the place before every snap. They had no idea what the play was. Every single player was on a different page almost every snap.
I get it, and Caleb Williams still looking like a rookie, but there are some things, like some plays, you can see it in there. You can see it in there.
He
didn't have 1 second. I mean, this dude, by the end of the game, he was battered.
he has to get rid of the ball.
That's true. You're right about that. But
I mean, he used to, at USC, you can run around and make all those plays. You cannot do it in the NFL.
Well, they said on the broadcast he doesn't even want to do that. He wants to be a pocket passer.
But I mean, how many times did he run around?
A lot.
A lot.
So here's my question about the Bears offense, right? So you've got guys. Like, you just paid DJ Moore. You've got Swift. Like, you've got weapons. But the fact that Keenan Allen is out, like, this really disrupted the whole thing. It's like, guys, newsflash. He's got injury stuff all the time. You've got to be able to win games without Keenan Allen. Like, that's... You've got to figure that out.
They kind of needed Keenan Allen last night. I mean, that I understand what you're saying, right? But Roma Dunze, I'm not sure he's quite there yet.
Well, he's a rookie, too.
Yeah, DJ Moore is awesome. It would have been helpful. They need to move the sixth guy because their run game wasn't great either. I love me some DeAndre Swift, but he was not effective at all last night. That really put them behind the eight ball. But part of the reason was they couldn't organize. Like, they couldn't get the playoff.
Yeah, I haven't been super impressed with the Shane Waldron offense.
No. DeAndre Swift, by the way, 14 carries, 18 yards.
That's not what you want.
Yeah, and all the plays were discombobulated and bizarre.
Yeah, it has not been easy here. I mean, listen, the Bears, I guess, I can't say they were lucky to escape with a win against Tennessee, but they kind of were. Tennessee just sort of gave that game away. This was tougher. But
give them a little credit.
It's a one-score game the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, in Houston, that's not the worst loss I ever saw.
Six total points scored in the second half of that game. That was an atrocious second half offensively. I mean, a lot of turnovers, just like trading turnovers back and forth. I was mostly, though, kind of disappointed with the Houston Texans offense in the second half. The Bears defense could be legit, but you've got all these weapons. And we get 3 points from you in the second half?
They kind of called off the dogs.
You're in a one-score game. You should not be calling off the dogs.
One-score game, honestly, you want that defense out there against Caleb Williams. That was, I never, did you ever once think that the Texans were going to lose that game?
No, but I thought the Texans were going to make it a little more comfortable. Yeah. Cam Akers fumbles at the goal line. I mean, but I thought they were going to make this at least, and not because I took the Texans and laid the 6.5, so I was particularly upset by this one. But even beyond that, like, they just couldn't get anything going in the second half at all.
They punted from the Bears 43-yard line in the second half.
Defensive
That's all you need to know.
Coaches are so annoying. 855-212-4227.
But I do love the Texans. Nico Collins, is he good. And one thing about Joe Mixon, they're already overusing him, and he's already limping around.
Left the game, ended up coming back, but they had to put Cam Akers in, and he fumbled.
Bobby Slowick loves running the ball in early downs. I want to see C.J. Stroud let loose a little bit if I'm the Texans. But I think D'Amico Ryans, you said he's a defensive coach, wants to win with defense. How about Will Anderson? Oh, my God.
Unreal.
He's bad. I wasn't totally sold on him last year. One defensive rookie of the year, but he is all of a sudden one of the top five pass rushers.
With Danielle Hunter. I mean, they're both there. Like, again, Caleb Williams, like, that has to be the worst plane ride home for him. Because he looked like, I mean, you can't no Moss this thing. Like, you got to get back out there. And he did, to his credit. But he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but on the football field by the end.
It feels like the Texans may have made one of the best draft day gambles in the history of the NFL. And I know that maybe sounds hyperbole, but to get C.J. Stroud and to get Will Anderson the way he looks right now, you might have gotten two supernovas at two premier positions. You're talking about edge rusher and, of course, quarterback. Texans really struck gold. I just want to say one thing quickly on the Mixon injury. Are the referees awake? Were they awake last night? Because takes them out.
Yeah,
and then
EJ,
and guys punching people on the sideline. What the hell were they doing?
They called 20 penalties last night on every defensive and offensive hold under the sun. But then guys are throwing a punch on the sideline. Got nothing for us.
He didn't
Can't
see
throw
it.
A flag.
I mean, you saw it was everybody was fighting. The whole teams were together. He just didn't see the punch. How was he supposed to call it?
Outside
and the
here,
hip drop's impossible to call in real time. It's utterly impossible. You're telling me that in real time you could see that particular hip drop?
I mean, they're supposed to be trained. That's literally all we talked about in the offseason. It was either tush push or this thing. And they couldn't get that right. And I'll show you everything. We talking about the punch. He headbutted a guy. He was shoving other guys. Like, he had
should have been ejected.
He had 5 infractions on 1 sideline interaction. I mean, it was 1v20 on the Bears sideline, and he's going crazy, and they didn't do anything. And what's New York doing? How can you have a situation where New York can buzz down on other things? They can't buzz down and say, hey, get that guy off the field.
Well, they said because they didn't throw a flag.
It's ridiculous.
I know. It doesn't make any
sense. Even if you don't throw the flag, he should be ejected.
So, wait, you want New York to break protocol and call in and throw a flag?
No, I think the rules are clearly dumb. Like, if a guy is throwing punches and headbutting people on the sideline,
yeah,
that guy needs to be ejected, whether a flag was thrown or not. The fact but that Al-Shaair finished that game was a disgrace.
I don't think you can all of a sudden go to full sky judge. I mean, are you going to do then do it and announce in the offseason, say we're going to have a sky judge. We're going to be able to call things from New York. But you can't all of a sudden change a rule mid-game.
Well, here's what I don't understand. Yeah. You have a scrum, right? Like, you have something going on and nobody throws a flag. Like, generally, doesn't that automatically trigger that you're be even if it's just to blow whistles and break it up, and then you can sort it out after, and you could do offsetting or whatever you want to do. The fact that nobody threw a flag when there's clearly like a fight going on. Maybe you didn't see the punches, but there was a scrum and it lasted forever.
And look, I hate a lot of the NBA, you know, going to the monitor and stuff, but like the NBA going to the monitor when fights happen is good. Because then they can go and say, oh, Draymond Green tried to choke out Rudy Gobert. He should probably be ejected. Draymond Green kicked the guy in the groin. He should probably be ejected. Like, yes, you're not going to see some things live, but what's the point of having a replay center? What's the point of any of that if a guy is literally punching people in the face on the sidelines and continues to play the rest of the game like nothing happened?
Interesting one. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up next, we're going to do a little stock up, stock down. It's the M&P 500. Who's feeling good? Who's feeling bad today? We'll tell you next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening, because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. First of all, the stock is always up on the Maggie and Perloff show, but across the sports world, we go up and down. Maggie, you said that you have a lot of stock ups and stock downs, and I know you. You're positive personal, but you have a lot of stock ups.
I feel like
you have a lot of stock ups this week. I could tell you kind of came in here this morning, shot out of a cannon. I feel you stayed up late for the Sunday night game. I know that vibe.
Yep.
I could tell immediately. I'm like, oh, she got too invested in that Sunday night game and couldn't go to sleep afterwards.
you do know me well.
So let's start up our weekly stock up and stock down.
All right, stock up. This one's got to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Here we go.
After the first game, come on, that was mine.
Oh, he got to 4 targets against Buffalo. You know, selfishly as a Bills fan, thank goodness he didn't have this breakout game last week. He had, 150 yards, blowout. Cardinals totally dominant at home against the Rams. Rams secondary looked like Marvin Harrison playing against Akron and back in the Ohio State days and not playing against an actual NFL team. It was a whitewash. Marvin Harrison Jr. stock way up.
So I was going to do the whole rookie wide receiver class because Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas are also ballers, but I'll go in a different direction. We mentioned him earlier in the show. Jalen Milroe, I cannot buy enough of his stock. The Alabama quarterback was dominant this weekend at Wisconsin, and it's not just that. He has chemistry with this 17-year-old wide receiver, Ryan Williams. I think the combination of the long ball to Williams and Jalen Milroe as a dangerous run threat makes Alabama and Kalen DeBoer super dangerous this year. Also, he does this thing. He gets a lot of attention. He sprints to the locker room so he can high-five everyone as they come off the field. Gets a lot of high. I mean, it's clearly for the cameras, but it's kind of cool. If you know, if you watch him in an interview, it's impossible not to like him. I cannot get enough of Jalen Milroe.
He's a great stock up. Heisman campaign off and running. Okay, stock down. You want to go first?
No, you go first because mine is off sports and a little weird.
Okay. Then I'll go on sports. I don't know. I think he's about to get removed from the stock exchange permanently. And this is Bryce Young. He completed 18 passes for 84 yards. I saw this on social media and forgive me. I don't remember who tweeted it. This is an NFL single game record. Most completions in history for under 100 passing yards.
Wow.
This is not the kind of history you want to be making. And if the Panthers get the number one overall pick, they are taking a quarterback. I mean, this looks like one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL, the Panthers and the Bears. I mean, even if Caleb's not playing well, you can see the talent, and they got DJ Moore and more. So, and draft picks.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So
more is more,
okay. As Alex Smith told us, Jim Harbaugh says. So Bryce Young off the stock exchange now. Yeah. I think we got to remove him permanently.
Okay. Actually, I do one sports stock down, and my next stock down is off sports. But okay. Bo Nix is going to give Bryce Young a run for his money on the throwing a lot of completions for no yards. Here's a stat for the season. He's 11 of 36, the Broncos rookie quarterback, for 212 yards and 4 picks on passes more than 5 yards downfield. His 30.6 completion rate on such passes is the lowest in the league by 6%. And the worst figure in week 1 and 2 in the last 10 years. Basically, if you watch Bo Nix, I've never seen a quarterback consistently overthrow his receiver more than Bo Nix by 20 yards every time. I was thinking he might have a cannon because he is throwing balls into the stands left and right. And Bo Nix looks bad. Sean Payton looks awful. Sean Payton looks like he's going to lose it. I think he convinced himself that they were going to be okay this year, and they're not. So that's my stock down.
What's your non-sports stock down?
Well, I got to go with Terry Farrell, lead singer of Jane's Addiction. attacking Dave Navarro at the end of a Jane's Addiction concert. Apparently, there were a lot of arguments about the volume that everyone in the band was playing. I don't know if you know the band Jane's Addiction. They were big in the 90s. They're sort of a punk rock band.
Every song sounds the same.
Yeah, he basically, Terry Farrell started Jane's Addiction, started Lollapalooza. That was his creation, really, and he's a really interesting guy. He is totally, totally crazy. I once saw him do a concert at a crypto event where he did just sounds. It was him and his wife. He's like, there's this new form of music where we just make sounds.
Like animal sounds?
Not even animal sounds. Like,
like
I would
have Yoko
taken,
has a weird, like, yodeling?
There was no rhythm or rhyme. It was just noises that came from him that were like...
Was it on a... Like from his voice or from an instrument?
From his voice. So there was nothing else except him sort of half screaming. It was just sounds, people.
I mean, if you pay for Perry Farrell to come play your event, right? Your corporate event. It's like, all right, you're kind of expecting like play the hits, not like come in and be like, you know?
Yeah. It wasn't even sounds that you'd ever heard before. It was weird. Him and his wife performed, so I'm like, oh, okay, well, at least maybe this will be provocative. It wasn't even that. He's like, you might
this
hear...
This is not a Shannon Sharp situation?
No. He's like, these are sounds you might hear in outer space. It was bizarre.
Wow, that really brings the house down.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to that crypto coin. I got to see what that thing is worth. By the way,
it tanked while you were there.
I got to say, it, for the crypto event, it felt not out of place. I was like, yeah, this makes sense.
All right. That's a stock down. A stock up, I mean, Alvin Kamara. Can I go with something obvious? I feel like the Saints deserve all the love in the world. Let's give it to them. 91 points the last 2 games. Kamara's just, it's like, I don't know. He seems like a different person.
I need you to fully commit to the Saints right now, Maggie Gray. Fully commit. Say this is the beginning of a run. Not only are they going to go better than 9-7, they're going to win the NFC South and be a factor in the playoffs. because I know that Derek Carr will let you down.
Yeah, no,
because
I've seen this movie. I can't do that. I couldn't have worked with Stu Kovacs for the amount of time that we had and then say all of a sudden I believe in Derek Carr. He's a big Raider fan. I feel like I'd be turning on my friendship with Stu.
Derek Carr is a really good quarterback. When he's healthy and he has time, he is a good quarterback. The issue is that something always happens with him. But that's why we call him
the Bermuda Triangle
of quarterback evaluation.
What's your stock up?
My last stock up is another rookie wide receiver. And I want to say this with Bogus here. I think the Giants made the right move with Malik Nabers. And I think he's spectacular. I think he is really, really good. I don't care. The rookie quarterbacks are all bad. So the Giants, I know they're going to go. They're 0-2. They're tanking. They're going to get the top quarterback in the draft. This was the right move. And this comes back. You were off a week, Maggie. We argued about Hard Knocks all season. Were the Giants screwing up?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Malik Nabers is a guaranteed Pro Bowl wide receiver. So I'm down. I'm totally into him.
Should we do one more quick stock down? Do we have time?
Yeah, you got one?
Yeah, I got all you can handle.
How about Malik Nabers since Pearl just put the hex on him?
Or Nick Nabers because he had a huge drop.
That too.
Kind of cost him the game.
He was falling down.
The drop was bad.
He was falling down.
That's a drop, Carl. Come on.
It's technically a drop. But, dude, honestly, he's the best player on that team.
100%.
That's not saying a lot.
No debate on that.
Okay, stock down. Well, I guess I'm going to have to go with Carson Beck. If you're going to go Jalen Milroe stock up, you gave him an H for Heisman in our report card, which was creative. He didn't play well. And I know this was a win for Kentucky, for Georgia, and it will go down as a win against Kentucky, but it was a bad night for Carson Beck.
Yeah, the next Giants quarterback.
Yeah, whoops.
Well, it wasn't so bad that he can't come back from it, though. At least they got the W. I mean, honestly, whew. Because it felt for a little bit like, oh, man, are they about to lose to Kentucky?
Can I do one more stock up? And this is a specific shout out to all of our friends and fans in the great state of Oregon. And I know the Civil War and Oregon State and Oregon, but I slept on Oregon on the Ducks. Shame on me. I thought Oregon State plus the points, but Oregon now looks ready for Big Ten play. They answered a lot of questions, I thought, in that game against Oregon State. We love you, Oregon State fans. But this was a good sign for Oregon that they're ready now for this Big Ten slate.
That was a sort of an odd pander to both fan bases
there. Yeah, it was. Want to make sure we get them in.
Yeah. Wait, who? The Oregon State fans or the Oregon fans?
Yes. Yes. Now Bogus is here with headlines.
You mentioned him a moment ago, Maggie. I think, honestly, not in a way to placate New Orleans, but here is Alvin Kamara, some specifics of his afternoon in Dallas.
Carr takes the snap, looks to throw, here comes pressure. He hits Kamara across the middle. Kamara in the run. Inside Dallas, 40, 35, 30, got a blocker. You ain't going to catch him. Not Alvin Kamara. See you later. Bye. Touchdown, Alvin Kamara. 57 yards. He's got a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown.
Kamara scored twice more on the ground in a 44-19 rout in Dallas. The Cowboys had won 16 straight regular season home games. A week after scoring on its first 9 possessions, New Orleans scored on its first 6 in this one. Now we get to Malik Nabers and those Giants. They scored 3 touchdowns in Washington yesterday. The Commanders scored 0, but won the game, something that maybe has never happened before in NFL history. The 21-18 thriller, courtesy of Austin Seibert's 7th field goal as time expired. The Giants couldn't kick anything because kicker Graham Gonneau popped his hamstring on the opening kickoff the day after being added to the injury report with a groin problem. So Brian Daboll was asked why the Giants didn't protect themselves better.
You thought Graham would be okay. He got hurt chasing down a hamstring. He didn't hurt his groin. He hurt his hamstring.
There was also Daboll staring down a reporter who asked about his job security because of this 0-2 start. Now, the Giants punter missed a PAT after the Gonneau injury, so they gave up on him. They went for 2 twice, did not convert either. They went 1-for-2 on 4th down, so they lose. They're 0-2 for the 9th time since 2013, the most in the NFL.
Yeah, well
exactly.
Said.
Thanks,
well
Maggie. Said. The Bengals are 0-2 as well.
But as a Giants fan, are you thinking tank? I mean, is this okay to lose a game like this? You could have easily won this game and screwed up your draft pick.
I am at the point where I don't think or care any more about them.
Wow.
You have to at least, though, stuff like this with Daboll, in terms of whether or not he's the head coach, whether you win or lose, you don't want to see mismanagement. I think in terms of like whether or not he stays the coach, even if you do get number one pick, like I think something like yesterday maybe makes you feel bad about
that. Wait, you're saying did he mismanage the kicker situation
right,
or
yeah,
the post-game? Mismanaging
the kicker situation, like the roster situation, not having a backup kicker ready to go when you knew Gano had a, like, you know, whatever, a quad or whatever he was saying.
Groin injury.
Yeah, like, I mean, that to me would be the question. It's like, all right, I'm evaluating Daboll and saying, you don't have a good team, but can you at least comport yourself like an NFL head coach? Yesterday, whether it be that press conference or even just how he managed the roster, felt like a big F from him.
Yeah, I just don't know who you put the blame on for Gano, because if the trainers say he's okay to play, and you can't just have a second kicker on the roster. No one is ever going to do that. So the choice is Gano kicks or somebody else kicks. If he's told that Gano's fine, then that's what you go with, and that's not his fault. It just looks bad for them collectively that they lose in another ridiculous fashion.
Yeah, I mean, you can't normally rip a coach for not having a backup kicker.
But they
that's
signed
not a
backup
thing.
Kicker to have on the roster, and they had a Gano
situation
were
they gonna,
last season.
They were going
to
activate him?
No, they didn't activate him. That's my point.
Right, you think they should have had two
yes.
kickers activated on
Gano
a Sunday?
Gano had issues last year with injuries, yeah. But same thing. I think it was also a groin situation. Like, I don't know. I thought there were fair questions to be you signed a kicker in case this might happen. And you know your punter can't kick. You should have known that going into the game.
It's funny. I didn't see you tweet on Sunday morning. Can't believe the Giants are coming into this game without a second active kicker.
Look,
I didn't see that tweet. It must have gotten lost in the networking.
No, you probably got lost in all the Miami is up 62-0 tweets.
Oh, Ball State. Yeah. Wow.
Tweeting about a Ball State win?
Oh. It just feels like you're playing a little Monday morning quarterback on this kicker situation, EJ.
I need somebody to live tweet Miami beating Ball State. That's this is what I need in my life. To be fair, I did listen to a little of the Giants pregame show. They did talk about it quite a bit. Right. Bogus, back to you.
Yeah, okay. So they were going to activate. So, okay, Maggie, it's funny because I didn't see your tweet either. Nobody activates a second kicker.
Why would I tweet anything about the Giants?
So he went through.
Why would I do that? That too. You're putting that
well,
on
I'm just
me.
Saying you're acting like this was such an obvious mistake.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing is that the universe currently hates the Giants, right? Yeah.
Like, no. You should celebrate that they got away from this game with an L. That
right.
was huge.
Right, but the problem is they've been bad for a decade plus. And everything they've done to that they can control, they've kind of messed up. And everything that like can go wrong against them from outside sources goes wrong as well. Like I'm assuming yesterday they had everybody look at Gano. He kicked pregame. They said, okay, he's fine. He's good enough to kick. And then he runs and hurts a different part of his leg, which I guess you can't prove or disprove is connected to the groin injury. But like it happened to the Giants. Like it's at the point now where you need to have Pedro Serrano come in and start sacrificing KFC because they're just screwed inside and out.
When Clint Kubiak is coaching Carson Beck next year, throwing to Malik Nabers, you're going to sing a different tune.
Just to make sure that it didn't get lost, one of Prolock's stock down was the Jane's Addiction, Perry Farrell and Dave Navarro getting into a fight. Titan Man is in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. I saw Jane's Addiction in 1990 and the singer had a chicken mask on and wearing a huge diaper. I was like, what the hell am I doing here? Yeah. That's awesome.
Fast forward 34 years, you guys got the same thing.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, they canceled their next show too because of whatever's problems they have.
I kind of like I feel like they're rock stars again. Now they're back. They're back after, I don't know.
I don't think so.
No, I think it's kind of cool. Like your lead singer fighting the guitarist. This is what you do when you're in a rock band.
That's
and
rock
I ought
and
to
roll.
Know because I've watched a lot of documentaries about rock bands.
Not because you are rock
yeah,
and
when
roll.
Pete Townsend wanted to kill Roger Daltrey in 1968, it was awesome. So what's wrong with this?
Yeah, honestly, guys don't do it anymore because I feel like there's so much money at stake. They all need to tour now because of the pandemic or whatever.
Bridgeport, Connecticut's pissed off. They didn't get Jane's Addiction 2024 last night.
Just wait till the Gallagher brothers have a full-on brawl.
It's gonna be amazing.
You can't get a ticket to the Oasis tour. I mean, that's what rock stars do. They fight. This is actually...
They fight and they exist for 2 decades and they come back to tour. They don't punch on the stage.
You know who never fights?
Dave Matthews. I know. Actually, they did go through a bad spot for a while.
Any fisticuffs?
Not on stage, no. But it led to bad shows.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'll tell you in the break.
They weren't walking to each other? They weren't speaking to each other?
There was one former band member that seemed to be apparently causing chemistry problems.
Slept with somebody's girlfriend?
That I don't know about.
tears apart all the great bands.
Yeah. The Steelers got a 13-6 win in Denver, then gave Russell Wilson a game ball for watching Justin Fields beat Russ's previous team. And I'm guessing the Jets gave Will Levis a game ball for helping Gangrene win in Nashville 24-17. Two more turnovers, giving Levis 5 for the season. It's win number 1 as a Jet for Aaron Rodgers.
These are really important games late in the season when you're trying to get in the playoffs. You know, you're looking back. It was a hot day, short week, very good defense. We start off really slow, but finding a way to win, that's what really good teams do.
EJ can correct me on this nugget if I'm wrong. Rodgers is the NFL's oldest player. One of his TD throws yesterday went to the youngest player in the league, 20-year-old Braylon Allen.
Yep. Who looks really good.
Yeah. Who is that guy?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
It's like Zero? Number Zero?
Yeah, Agent Zero, they call him now, which has been...
That's been done before.
That game had a spring football league vibe to me. I don't know what it was.
I can't believe Levis with that pick six backhanded last week and then followed it up with a backwards like ground ball to his shortstop slash running back.
Brian Callahan.
What decision is that?
Yeah, it's like we're reading lips here. I'm like, I don't think you need to read them. I think that F word just came right through my YouTube TV. Speaking of it being hot, I know we got to go to break. On the other side, the moment I couldn't believe happened yesterday. And again, I know it was hot. I wasn't expecting this, though. Maybe this happens more often, but I don't know.
Oh, no, we're not going to do that story, are we? I think I know what you're talking about.
We are definitely doing that story.
I had breakfast. I don't know if I can do this.
Also, which 0-2 team finds themselves panicking? We'll tell you about that next, Bogus. Thank you. More Maggie and Perloff straight ahead. Had to double check the weather report in Green Bay, Wisconsin yesterday. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It was about 85 degrees, Pearl, in September in Wisconsin. Maybe a little unseasonably warm. I don't know.
Looked a little humid, too.
Looked a little humid, and the weather was so hot that it actually was impacting the game, particularly when Malik Willis, who was standing in for Jordan Love and did an admirable job, I think a lot better than many of us thought he was going to do. They win the game, but his coach, Matt LaFleur, had a question on one key play. Why did he hold on to the ball when it was definitely a pass play?
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, that'd be his center. And you can see the video now. I want to get his name. Josh Myers, pardon me. You see the video. Doesn't have to be slowed down. Doesn't have to be anything of the Zapruder type. It's just vomit, projectile vomit right on the football, right before he snaps the ball.
That's not good. I mean,
it's gross.
You're talking to an Eagles fan, and we all know the most famous vomit in NFL history was Donovan McNabb in the Jacksonville Super Bowl when they lost to the Patriots. But I can't believe, like, dude, just vomit to the left or the right. Why does it have to be on the ball?
No time, Pearl. No time. He's got the ball right there. He's got to puke. Got to go. Got the quarterback is like, you know, hut-hut hiking this thing. You got to just puke and go.
I just, personally, if I was a center, I would puke on the right guard's leg.
You're not thinking that way. You're just like, I got to execute. I thought it was actually more of Malik Willis, like to have the presence of mind to be like, oh, this ball is covered in puke. This is like regurgitated Gatorade or whatever is on this thing. I can't possibly throw it.
I was actually thinking too, there's no sink on the sideline. How does Malik Willis clean his hands? Like, there's not enough Purell in the world. I guess football is so nasty that there's just all sorts of bodily fluids around that game.
Yeah, what do you do if somebody pukes on your... Like, yeah, what do you do about that? Secondhand puke.
So wait, you think that...
Die. That's how I feel like.
Even with a play about to happen, you can't turn your head 45 degrees and puke somewhere else? That seems ridiculous to me. Is that urgent of a time?
I think you maybe don't think you're going to puke. Like, it's probably denial up until the last moment when it's literally coming out of your mouth.
I don't know. I mean, Matt LaFleur said he's never heard of it happening. I'm sure guys puke all the time. I honestly think, imagine if you're the guard and Josh is throwing up on your leg. Hey, Josh, stop that. Stop vomiting on my leg.
What a teammate. I think guys just puke a lot.
Usually on the sideline, though.
Yeah, but training camp, I think that guys, it's the weather's hot, and I think they just kind of like turn their head and puke, and this time he couldn't even turn his head. I think it's actually more appropriate or like etiquette-wise, I think it's better to puke on the ball than on your friend's shoe.
I totally disagree with that, because the germs that you're handing to the quarterback, who you need to start right now. I mean, what if Josh is sick and giving him the flu?
Well, then we got a whole other problem. I wonder if you puke on an opponent, is that a personal foul? Like, if he had just picked his head up and he's puking on the defensive tackle, is that 15 yards? Feels like it should be.
Seems pretty personal.
Kind of, yeah.
Is this a bit here, or are we actually asking?
No, I'm actually asking this. If you spit on somebody, you would get a personal foul.
I mean, we should put up some form of poll question. What's grosser, to puke on a football and hand it to the quarterback, or the fact that the quarterback has to have his hands down there the entire game when it's that hot and sweaty outside?
Oh, under his, like,
undercarriage, yes. You
know what I found interesting, though, was LaFleur then said that, like, he went to the ref and was like, hey, like, my center, like, puked. And he was like, oh, like, next time you want me to stop the play if that happens. He's like, yes, please. That's a critical play. Why would the refs stop the play there?
Oh, I thought they said, do you want us to tell you the next time he pukes? I didn't know they were going to stop the play.
That was how I interpreted it. I know we had the cut here if you want to listen to it. But okay. I interpreted it as him saying that, like, hey, we could stop the play and take him off the field, what he said.
Let's hear it.
Official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center thrown up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that, because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation, and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
So it'd be like an injury.
Right. They take it as an injury, which now that I think about it, I guess maybe that's what you, yeah, I guess you, now I've already flipped.
But the center has to stand up and acknowledge that he's sick. I mean, in real time.
Yeah. But I guess also, I know it's kind of maybe too soon because it's a concussion, but I guess it's like a concussion. If you see, like, a guy wobbly, you see a guy vomit, you know, okay, he needs to be taken off the field. We have to stop the play immediately.
Listen, I don't think people puke on the ball all the time. I think a lot of guys puke, though. So I think they're just not, like,
Bengals game, they went, like, if the cut was, if it was a fourth down play, it was incomplete. And then they went to some Bengals guy who's on a knee puking, like, on the play. I was like, wow, these guys really exhausted themselves. And the flag came, so it happens every week.
But there was, by the way, no time to stop that play. It was instant. No.
Answer the question, though. What's more disgusting, to hold a ball with someone's puke on it or to have to put your hands underneath their hot undercarriage?
Yeah, that is always been a dicey issue for quarterbacks.
I feel like it's 50-50. I'm curious for the poll results on this one.
Hey, you guys hungry for breakfast?
I already ate mine. I'm good.
I don't know how you guys walk around with those things. NFL in 60 comes your way next.